gospel reading is a continuation of the 18th chapter of Luke. Last week we heard the story of the widow and the unjust judge. This week is the familiar story of the Pharisee and the publican. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his home justified, rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. And may we be blessed in the hearing of God's good news. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be always acceptable in your sight. Amen. The sermon this morning is going to be, well, I keep saying this every week. The sermon is going to have a little different format. The choir is going to be doing the sermon with me. And they are going to sing a very familiar song, a very familiar prayer in between parts of my sermon. I've heard the story of how important this anthem is to this congregation. I know you were singing it every Sunday for a very long time, and for a while that you didn't sing it for whatever reason, but now it's back. The first time I heard this piece, I had gone up, Barry was preaching that Sunday, and I had gone up to be with the kids in their classes. And when I came down to greet people at the door, I opened the door, and the timing was perfect. Tom had just started the introduction, and it wasn't only the choir that sang, it was the entire congregation that was singing. And I stood back from the door, and I just listened. I was so moved to hear this congregation prayerfully singing that song, that I've really sort of just meditated on this song for the last couple weeks. And I decided to include it as part of my preaching when I read today's gospel.
You may have heard the saying that he who sings prays twice. I think it's important that when we pray, whether it's sung prayer, whether it's movement prayer, whether it's spoken prayer, whether it's silent prayer, that we periodically call ourselves back to remembering what exactly it is that these words we pray about are saying to us and what God is saying to us through these words. The gospel today asks us some very hard questions. The gospel today is about arrogance, about social arrogance or spiritual arrogance. It's about whether we forget who is in charge, who is our foundation, who is our support, like I mentioned to the kids. It's about how do we see ourselves in relationship to others within this church, outside this church. How does this church see itself in relationship to others? And most importantly, how do we see ourselves in relationship to God? Is God the one who is really in charge? Or are we praying with sort of that subtle secret agenda that most of us, not most of us, but all of us human beings have, which is, if God would really do things my way, the whole world would be a whole lot better place. That is something that humanity has struggled with for all time and all places. And we are no different. We struggle with the same things. Letting God really be in charge. And this song, Go Now in Peace, with love, with faith, so all the world can see, reminds us of exactly the disposition we are to have when we leave this church. God will guide you in all that you do, in all that we do individually, in all that we do collectively. That was the struggle of the Pharisee and the publican. Did God truly guide them? Were they allowing God to guide them? If Jesus was to come in and say that parable today, he would say something like, the Pope and a pimp went to the church to pray. That is, you know, some of you are laughing and some of you are kind of squirming because it's uncomfortable, but that's the social distance of the people, of the Pharisee and the publican. Okay? It would be like saying a Christian and somebody from any other faith tradition came to the church and prayed. Okay? It would be anything, anyone that is not like us, came before God to pray. Prayer changes us. If we allow ourselves to be open, prayer levels the playing field. Not for God, but for us. Because we all have to remember that every one of us inside this building and in the world around us is equal before God. God loves each person as much as the other. And that's a very hard thing for us human beings to remember. I notice it in myself anytime I say something like, well, God, thank God I'm not as blank as those people, or thank God I don't have to. And we all do that. When we say words like that or phrases like that, that's a clue to us that a little bit of human arrogance is creeping into our thoughts, is creeping into our lives. And many of us, at some time during our lives, pray with a source, a sort of arrogance. We're both Pharisee and publican. Okay? So Sometimes we pray with all humility, and sometimes we pray with great arrogance, thinking that we know the mind of God better than God. And this gospel reminds us that we all need to step back and really trust that God will indeed guide us in all we do. That's why we come back here Sunday after Sunday, is to be reminded that individually and collectively, if we dispose ourselves, if we are open, God will indeed guide us in all we do. Centuries of interpretation have made the Pharisees look like the bad guys. Okay, almost every interpretation, every book I've ever read. But as I studied a little bit more this week, I learned that long before Jesus was ever born, the Pharisees were just simply trying to hold on to how to be faithful people in the middle of a world of very secular, very, I don't know what words to use, describe it, world like our own, where all the influences of the world were trying to sort of steal or break into the faith life of the faith community, of the church, of the temple, of the people of God. And the Pharisees were merely trying to do their best to hold on to what it was that was in their identity that marked them as people trying to live out God's will. Their prayers, their clothing, the way they talked, the way they ate, the way they observed the laws. But what happened, like happens in all of us human beings, is that we forget often why we do the things we do. And rather than being a means to an end, the means become the end. And that's where the Pharisee and the publican got tripped up. To others, so all the world can see. Reach out to others so all the world can see what you do in faith, what you do in trust, and what you do in love. Throughout all of salvation history, major events happened to God's people that formed them and shaped them. In the time of the Pharisees, after Jesus' resurrection from the dead, the major event that formed them was the destruction of the temple, the central place of their identity, the central place of who they were, how they understood themselves as people of God. We, being of all different ages, have had different formative events in our lives. A formative event is something that happens globally, something that happens in the world that affects people differently. It affects the way they think about themselves. It affects their fears. It affects their hopes, their dreams, how they save, how generous they are, how they relate to each other. For some in this congregation, it was World War II. For some, it was the Great Depression. For some, it was 9/11 or the Kennedy assassination. The kind of events where people remember either where they were when that happened how they talked with each other, maybe how the world changed for a little bit. For the Pharisees, that was their major formative event. All the events that I've just talked about have formed each of us in the way we view our relationships to each other, to God, within this congregation, and outside the world. The song said, so all the world can see what we do. When the Pharisee and the publican went to church, to a very public place, to the temple, going to church is a pretty public thing. Going to the temple is a pretty public thing. We don't know exactly what happened after they left. But the question was, and is, did their prayer, did their worship life, did that dispose them to doing God's will in the world? Did it bring the two closer together? Or did their prayer life only accentuate the difference? What could the world see in the Pharisee and the publican that was different because they had attended their temple in the morning and prayed? Were they there to listen to God's will, or were they there to tell God what they wanted God to do? And how was the world changed because they had been in church that morning? We have the same question to answer, as do people from the time of recorded history. What does it mean that we come here to worship? What does it mean to leave this place in peace? And I'm not talking about the spiritual bubble bath kind of peace, the feel-good kind of peace. I'm talking about the thrown-in baptismal waters way over our head kind of peace. The peace that knows that God is in charge. That if we dispose ourselves to what God wants us to do, God will do great things. We will see. The world will see that it made a difference, that it makes a difference that we are here on Sunday mornings, that we pray in our individual lives. The world has to see that, or there is no point in our being here. We have to see it in our relationships within this community, to celebrate the joys, to admit when we've made mistakes, and then to pick up together as God's people and go on. And that is those are the questions that are before us, particularly at a time of transition, but those questions are always before us. So what are we going to do? I don't know. The story is yet to be unwritten. It's God's narrative. It's not mine. Just as it's God's narrative and not yours. The whole story of salvation history is God's story. We merely participate in it, and we just have to choose our level of participation, and whether we will trust that God goes with us wherever we go, whatever we do, in faith and in love. So I'm going to invite you to sing this time with the choir. We're going to sing the whole thing together. Remember the words of this song. It is prayer. And I hope today we all go out changed a little bit because God has spoken to us. Amen.